think it's Judges the 16th. We're going to try to, by the help of the Lord tonight, learn some lessons that are apparent in the life of a man named Samson. You sure can. It's kind of hard to ask people to do that, but it's helpful if we can kind of gather in. Now, I want to ask you about Samson. Do you think it was the way God planned it? Do you think his choices and what he did, do you think that's what God wanted him to do?
I agree with you, absolutely not.
Which choices?
Well, he had some that were good. But in the 16th chapter of Judges, we come on to some choices that he was making that I don't think God wanted him to do. So, we want to look at some of this. I believe that there were some things that Samson did that we can get instruction from. I believe we're going to start at the fourth verse of the Judges 16. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. That's the way my Bible says I'm supposed to pronounce it. Whether it's right or not, I don't know. Whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines. Now, I had to notice at the beginning of the chapter that Samson went to Gaza. 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 You know where Gaza is? Seems like we're all kind of... Gaza's in the news, isn't it? I think it's the same area over there. So the fourth chapter and the fourth verse says, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." So their purpose was to capture Samson. Why was it? Why were they so much opposed to Samson? Okay, she said he was destroying their country. What? He did. Just earlier in this chapter, Samson had been, they thought they'd captured him inside of a city wall. They closed up the gates and said, "We'll catch him in the morning. We'll get a hold of him." And he stayed there, and in the middle of the night, he got up. He realized he was closed in. He got up, and it said he took the gates and the posts that the gate swung on, put them on his back, carried him up on top of a hill, and put him up there. And it sounded like they were pretty substantial gates, but he just put him on his back and took him up there. Now, this perspective that we're seeing here was a man that he was physically able. He was a strong man. There was a certain part of him that seems to be wasn't well disciplined. There was a certain part of him where he had a weakness. Some of you may remember a song years ago about Samson, that somebody wrote a song. "Oh, Samson, it's been said you were a mighty man. Women were your weakness. This I understand. But after all the mighty armies you went through, how could you let a woman get the best of you?" You see, Samson was very secure in his strength. But he wasn't very secure in the one who gave him the strength. He didn't honor that one very well. So we know what, you know, the Lord was using some of these occasions that came up against the Philistines to work a liberty for the people of Israel. He was a judge, considered a judge in Israel. But he said, there's a woman over here. It's a different one than this one. He said, told his parents, "I want her. Go get me her to wife." And they said, "Isn't there somebody here? Isn't there a woman amongst our people?" And he said, get her. She pleases me. It sounds to me like somebody that's driven by their own passions and their own desires. That's not a good recipe to live our life by. Because if we're going to be driven by carnal passions like that, it's all about me, I want to get what I want, you're going to have trouble. If it's also about me, going to have anger, if it's these things that I give, any of those carnal things that we give over to those passions, we're going to have a lot of trouble. It's not going to be good for our life. And if we have children, if we have family, it's going to hurt us on every level. So this was Samson. He approached this young man wanting perhaps to get married and maybe have a family. He had been promised or been given by the Lord, and his mother had been told that this child cannot have their hair cut ever. He's a Nazirite. And I can't tell you I understand all about the Nazirite vow, but there was a certain amount of a shame for a man to have long hair. I know it's kind of not a shame today. It seems like so many people think it's something special to have this long hair. But I don't know, after a lifetime of his hair growing, I wonder how long his hair was. He probably had some pretty long hair. I know that Absalom one time said he polled or he cut his hair every year. And when he was riding from the armies, you know, he'd rebelled and he was riding from being chased. His hair caught up, and so he had a lot of hair on his head. But this, something about this vow, I think, carried with it the idea that I'm going to bear this on me, that is a certain amount of shame, but I'm willing to do it because I'm dedicated to the things of the Lord. The outward sign of so. And I'm not willing to tell you that's exactly what it was, but that's some of what I'm thinking. So the Philistine said, this fellow's been causing us a lot of trouble. And Delilah, we know he's interested in you. We see him over here, and you have a special ability because he cares about you and his affections. He's looking at you, and we know that gives you an inside track to be able to ask him, because we want to know what we can do to take away his great strength. What?
For any negative reason, but we just want to know where his strength lies.
Maybe so, but when you read down here, Delilah seems like she's pretty straightforward. I'm amazed. Well, we'll read into it. And Delilah said to Samson, see how they said, we're going to give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30. They said, we'll give you 1,100 a piece, wasn't it? 11, well, each one. We will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah, I guess she liked that silver. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. What foolish man to hang around any longer. Come, she up front said, tell me how I can reduce you in your might, your great strength that you have, that so that we might be able to afflict you. And he stayed. And he toyed with the idea. I have to think that likely he heard what she said, and he remembered. I'll remember those gates I just took up to the hill. Remember all these things that I've done. The lion that jumped out at me, and I just grabbed him and ripped him apart. The jawbone. Took a jawbone and took on 1,000 men. Cut them down. There's nothing going to get hold of me. I've done it before. I can do it again. But she had stated her purpose. Very seldom is the devil that straightforward. But this, in this case, it was plain. They said what we want. We want to grab your strength away from you, and we want to be able to afflict you. I think that he was somewhat self-righteous, if we would say it in our days. He felt pretty secure in himself. Take heed lest you fall. Be careful. I don't care how many years we've served the Lord. You know, I was counting recently how many years that I've served the Lord, but those years mean nothing except the Lord kept me this far. I have no place of letting down my guard, and neither do you. None of us do. Well, this man had some all these successes, and Samson probably felt like that, well, I'll tell her something. And so he did. All the while, this woman was enticing him. They said, enticing. Delilah said, Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 great withs, green withs, that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Quite a story, wasn't it? It was a lie. I don't think the Lord ever wants us to lie. He was dealing in falsehood and deceit. Talks about the champion of our salvation said neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't deal in that. He dealt in truth. If he said it, we can believe him because he's set a good track record of being faithful and true. Samson began to toy with this idea. Why didn't he say, remember Job told his wife, and I don't think he did it in a meanness of spirit, but he said, you're talking foolishly. That's a foolish thing to say, to curse God and die. That's extremely foolish. Samson should have told this woman. He should have said, I'm not coming back. I'm going out the door and going home. That's what he really should have done. But he toyed. He stayed around. Wonder what the story of humanity would have been like if Eve would have looked at that tree and said, Lord, I love you more. I'm not going over there. In fact, I'm not even going close. I'm staying away from it. Oh, I recognize there's some pretty fruit, but I'm going to turn away and choose to stay far away. Because you told me, and I don't even know what all death might be, when you said, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. But I understand you said, don't do it. And these times that I have spent in the evening on the cool of the day, when you come by and talk with me, those are so sweet. And you've told me that if I go over there and take part of that, that will be severed. That's going to be gone. And I don't want it. The story of humanity would have been much different. I believe the story of Samson was intended to be much different. He chose another route. Anybody feel differently than that? Go ahead. You have something to say?
I think one of the... I would think the first downfall is that he would not listen to his parents.
Yes, yes.
They tried to
give
keep
him, good
him
counsel.
From...
Yes.
From, and then from there on, it was one thing after another.
That's right.
And I've often wondered, what would that story be like had he listened? Because, like you said, God had a plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was designed for him to deal with these Philistines.
Yes.
But not to happen the way it did.
That's right.
If we want to apply it, God has a plan for all of us.
Yes, he does.
If we stay in his plan, then it's victory.
That's right.
But then if we vary, it can be like this, you know.
I think we need to take instruction from this story that if we do it the Lord's way, if we follow after Him, said the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and there's no sorrow with it. But this type of a thing, the Lord is still able to use him, but I don't think it's the way the Lord wanted to have to.
This is not the first woman of the Philistines that enticed Samson.
Yeah.
There was another one where there was a riddle.
He married her.
And she wept before him because he wouldn't tell her the riddle so that the men could win the contest. And so it's like he just keeps
edging closer,
dealing with these types of women. seems like the character of Delilah should have been a big red flag and recognized this isn't the kind of woman that I want.
Should have turned around and went the other direction. They went down to get her. Yes.
They enabled him to
they did.
Break God's law.
Yes.
So
yeah, that one he married, yes.
They were complicit in his sin. And we as parents cannot do that.
Yes, Lord. That's right. Let's uphold the Lord to our younger generation. I was thinking of this recently when I was thinking about things that I leave behind here in this congregation. I was saying, Lord, help me to leave behind footprints that are safe for people to follow in. And I was thinking, well, there's things that I could do that I don't maybe have a strong conscience against, but it may set some other people's feet in a slippery, and I don't want to do that. It would be better for me to say, Lord, I give that to you. Samson's feet set in some slippery places. His parents, though they gave him a little counsel, they went ahead and went and got that woman for him. And that's a different one than this one right here. Seventh verse. And Samson said unto her, if you bind me with the 7 withs, and so she did it. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Why did he let her do that? Now there were men lying in wait. Sounded like they were hiding right there in that same, I don't know, same room, or they were there, lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson, as though she was saying, be careful now. They're going to get you. I'm going to be watching out for you. I'm going to tell you, run, Samson. When she had been the one that told him this is how you need to bind him. Isn't that something? She was trying to act as though she was being looking out for his welfare. Isn't that just like the devil? He still stayed. Well, he got up and broke those things loose. And the Philistines, they realized that didn't work. Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he break the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. He didn't tell the secret. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me. I'm hurt. You were supposed to tell me the truth. You were supposed to. Don't you trust me? He should have said, no, I don't trust you. And I'm not going to ever trust you. And I need to recognize the devil's at work here. I'm getting out of here. But he stayed. Shouldn't have had that conversation. Exactly. Shouldn't have got over close enough to the tree to hear any words that the devil was speaking. Shouldn't have been there. He was enticed.
I think he probably knew what she was doing, obviously. So he was having a false sense of security in the strength the Lord had given him. And he had trust in the Lord, obviously, to some extent. But he didn't have the fear of the Lord to be using it in the right way.
True.
And I think he was doing it to mock them. Yeah. And I think he knew what he was doing, but in the end, she broke down the barriers that he thought he had up. You know what I'm saying? Like I think he was playing with her, and he knew that she was doing this to him.
He did,
I don't think he was blind to that in the beginning. But he, in some ways, was trusting the Lord was going to get him out of these situations, but he didn't have the fear of the Lord in his heart, of like the talent that the Lord had given him.
I think you're right. I really do. But recognizing that, I believe that's a fact. Recognizing that makes it a little bit more astounding to think at the time when he finally told her, and it had been proven to him over and over, their purpose, what they were wanting to do. They told him what they wanted to do. This should be instructive to us. We can't take on those type of... You know, there's a verse that talks about taking fire into your bosom, and you can't do that without getting burned. He thought he could. And it seems like for a little while he could handle it. But sin will take you farther than you ever intended to go. It'll cost you a lot more.
He didn't know what it was like for his strength to be weak at your life.
He hadn't experienced his strength being gone before.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that can... It seemed like he had it. He seemed like he could never lose it.
He grew up with it.
And he didn't have...
Yeah.
It seems like he didn't have the fear of keeping the vow. Kind of like Nicole was talking about.
Yeah.
The vow was not that important to him, apparently. And he thought even... I think he probably did think the Lord would... He had a false sense of security in that the Lord would deliver him again, even if he broke the vow. And I think that can apply to us in this way. I think sometimes when we're raised under the protection of growing up in a Christian home, under the preaching of the truth, sometimes it could be a false sense of security. You can feel like, I'm thinking maybe of a young person who may want to go out there and do some things. You have a false sense of security feeling like, well, I can go this far. I can do this. The Lord will protect. You may not think that in your mind, but that's kind of the mentality you have. Almost like, I won't really be hurt by this. And it's, I think there's some similarities to what's going on with Samson.
That's some of the instruction we can get from this story. Do you have more you want to say here?
Well, that's about it. You would think with Delilah intentionally, it happened to him twice before... Before the real thing. Three times ultimately, but twice were false alarms. It seems like his brain just went on vacation. I don't know what happened, but you would think when you tell her that and then it happens to you and then she's complaining to you that it didn't work.
It makes no logical sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Eve had some of that same thought. I wonder if Eve had some of that same thought of not realizing what would happen, because you've never experienced that. Like, Samson had always been strong. God had always been with him. The same thing with Eve. She did not know what she was doing.
Lord, help us to have our eyes open. Don't let the devil blind our eyes.
When we're comparing Eve with Samson, the scripture says she was deceived. Do you think that Samson was deceived? And it's hard. I mean, when I look at this, like you said, it doesn't make any kind of sense. The first time, you may think, but that should have been the only time.
Yes, that's right.
And so you wonder, how can you get to that point?
Yes.
But I think people can get to that point, to their eyes completely blind. It's like it's right in your face, and you should see it, but you don't. That is a serious place to be in, I think.
That is something that should cause us to tremble in our spirit, to realize that we can reach that level of self-deception to the point that though the reality, the truth of the matter, is right in front of us.
I want to say this. I happen to know somebody that they've been among the saints. They know better. But then they went and they married somebody. And it justified it. So today we can have that amount of blindness if we're not careful.
So true. Over and over.
Hear the gospel? No, second marriage isn't right. And they'll turn right around and do it and justify themselves.
Just for clarity, second marriage is, if the spouse has passed away, it's clear. But we have a living companion. I think the Bible's clear about it.
I have a comment about when we're kind of talking about relationships. So at what point in history, Bible history, sometimes I'm unclear on like the chronological order of the Bible because it's not laid out chronologically exactly. So have they already experienced the marrying into other nations and the repercussions of that and everything? At what point was this in history? Because I know that there were times that the Israelites were told, don't marry outside of basically what we would say unequally yoked now. So do you have any, I can't really research that right now, but I was just curious where this history is.
That came through the law of Moses, didn't it? I'm trying to think exactly where that is in the law of Moses, but I believe that would have been, this was in the Judges period, the time there was prophets that were of the law of Moses. Yeah, before kings.
So this is
That's
before
correct.
The kings area, but it's after the Moses.
That's right.
Okay, so, I mean, she's obviously not a good choice for him, right? And I mean, was he even supposed to marry? I know. I guess what Sister Doris was saying about how do you get to that point reminded me of myself and just being not married for so long, start wondering, is it even important to wait for a companion that God approves? Mm-hmm. And, it was really crazy to me to think that I could get to that point to even like
throw that's what started going through your mind
to throw that overboard and be like, oh, that's not really going to matter that much. And that's something in my life. But we all have things that maybe we've had convictions on, or we've wanted to do for God, or we wanted to be for God, and then the devil start coming and talking to you, and is that really that important? If it's a personal conviction that you have gotten from God, or it's a biblical thing, mm-hmm. it is important. Yes. And the devil's going to try to confuse us. He's going to try to blind our eyes, deceive us, to where we will accept those things into our lives. And, I mean, to us, we're looking at Samson going, okay, you're kind of stupid right now. This is not going anywhere good. And, little children would say you shouldn't use those words, but this is a pretty serious thing that he was doing. Yes. But here I was.
It was very foolish.
I was becoming very foolish in my thoughts. And I'm like, it's not going to matter. I can just marry anyone. Mm-hmm. And I have told this testimony before, but, I mean, it was a Sunday night that I wasn't even going to go to church. I was the night before the first day of school as a teacher trying to get my classroom ready, and I didn't really have time to go to church. It was 5 minutes down the road. I was working there in Joplin, and I was going to Webb City at the time, and I just don't have time. And something arrested me. God said, you need to go. You need to go. I was like, well, I guess I'll go. Even if I have to stay up all night to get ready, because, the classroom was not ready to see anyone yet. Everything was everywhere, still trying to set up. And I went in the Bible study that night. I don't remember the title. I don't remember the whole topic. All I remember is one specific verse that Uncle Danny was elaborating on, and it was the part about one shall put 1,000 to flight and two shall put 10,000 to flight. And we were just having this Bible study about the different ways that can be applied in our life. And it really felt like God just dumped a bucket of ice water on my head and said, Renelle, one is only going to put 10,000 to flight. And if you don't have a godly marriage, you're only going to barely be able to put 1,000 to flight in the rest of your life. You're barely going to be able to, you may not even survive. Like, how are you going to face this world? How are you going to face the demons that are out there? How are you going to raise your children? And it was just what I needed to remind myself of that. And what did Samson have in his life that maybe he overrode mm-hmm. for a while? But that first time that she said directly, I want to take away your strength, that should have been ice water on his head.
It should have been like, red lights flashed.
Wait, I don't want to be any part of this. And when we have those moments in our life where we realize, I don't want that. God was like, you've been praying for a godly husband for 10 years and you're just going to throw it away?
Yeah.
You're going to throw that whole prayer away and just forget all these years that you've prayed for that. And I feel like there's a, we all can go look it up, because I'm not going to read it. I just did look it up. But there's the, Paul Harvey said, if I were the devil, and it was in 1965 that he wrote this and aired it on the radio show. And some of it, you know, may be antiquated now, but because they didn't really have the smartphones in 1965 that we have today. But if you go and read that, I think there's also a version that AI has put out, like ask AI, if you were the devil, what would you do to conquer Christians or to steal a Christian soul? And, you know, just read through that list, and it's like, that should scare us. Some of these things that are on there, it should really scare us, because it's happening all around us. And the devil is sly, but he's actually pretty in our face right now.
Yeah, he is.
And I just feel like God can help us if in our individual lives, if we have an honest heart. Like I had an honest heart. I was just dealing with these emotions and fighting these things. And if we have an honest heart towards God, he's going to bring things in our way that should turn us around. And he didn't. We see the end. He didn't turn around. And I just hate to think what would have happened if I hadn't turned around and continued in the godly path, you know, in God's path for my life. So I'm just encouraging you all to go look those up and read through, you know, if I were the devil, what would I do?
It's pretty descriptive of what he would do, and pretty accurate things that he would use to. And the purpose of what he's trying to do is to erode our resolve to serve the Lord and do it right, and make it seem like it's not bad. It's okay. We become accepting of it. And that's what Delilah did here. That we'll hurry along in here. But again, let it be instructive to us in our lives. Again, this wasn't plan A, in my opinion. This was something less than what God had really wanted for Samson. When Delilah kept after him, so he said, I pray thee, wherewith you mocked me. I pray thee, wherewith thou mayest be bound, tell me. And he said unto her, if you bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, I'll be weak as another man. Delilah right away went and got some new ropes and bound him and said again, Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he got up, knowing that he had the strength, toying with danger. Knowing the danger was right there. I have taken care of a thousand of these before with nothing more than a jawbone. Not a problem. And he got up and just broke it like there was something that, a string that had been touched to the fire. Now I'm still strong. The Lord's with me. I can see, I've proven it. I can get this close to the fire and I can be okay. Deception that the devil uses. And he got up and took off, and Delilah again feigned her love for him and said, you've mocked me, 13th verse, you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. So he was getting closer now. Got to his hair, got this close. Incrementally getting there. Well, she got busy weaving his hair into the beam. And I don't know what all it was that his weave got woven into, but he got up and carried it away too. He awakened and went away with a pin of the beam and with the web. 15th verse. She said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? I think I'd have said, let's turn that around. Your heart's not with me either. He had a great weakness, didn't he? You've mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lies. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily, kept eroding his resolve, kept pressing against him, kept over and over and over and urging him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Instead of getting up And going home, he told her his heart. He told her the truth, knowing what she had in mind. Knowing. And he went to sleep. And he came in and took off his hair. What?
How did you explain that sound?
Exactly. Exactly. It's an absolutely astounding story to me. Himself. That's a lot of the problem right there. Self-assured. I've done it all my life. I'll do it again. This time, though, she perceived and knew that she had told him all his heart. It rang so true when she heard it. And she said, y'all, I know I've called you before. And you're probably getting tired of coming over. But just do it one more time. I've got him this. And they came. She said, bring your money. This will work. And they cut his hair. I said, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And he said, I'll get up like I've done before. I'll shake myself. And then I'll go out. And he didn't recognize that the Lord had left him.
That's the sad part.
That's horrible. What did they do right after that?
Criticizing.
Notice what they did. They took, burned his eyes out, poked him out. The devil wants to do that to us. Don't toy with him. Don't walk so close. Don't in this life. If you want to enjoy your walk with the Lord, don't straddle the fence. Don't do it. Set safe footprints for your life. Go down the path that's not close to the danger. Don't get there. I believe if we get addicted, if we get enticed by the adrenaline rush of seeing how close I can survive all the time, we're going to die one of these days. We're going to die. You may survive for a while, but it will always be after your soul. Time's up, and I don't want to belabor us. But can we go home and think about this? Can we go home and apply some instruction? This ought to be stand as a monumental warning to us. And don't just say, well, that's happened way back there to Samson. But that's a path that's being pointed out to us tonight that we can go down if we choose. And it's a path of danger, a path of spiritual danger that can take our spiritual eyesight, our perception. You can't even see which way we're really going. I don't even recognize the difference between right and wrong anymore. I've gotten so confused, so misguided, so self-assured, so lost track of where I'm going until the Philistines are upon us. The devil's here. Go ahead.
Ask a question.
Sure.
Do we know where any Delilahs are lying in wait today? Or are there any?
Oh, yes. World's full of them.
I just want folks to think about that.
Yeah.
This is serious.
Yes, it is. They're enticing. I'm not talking about women can be part of that, yes. But it's more than that. It's the decisions that if I'm toying with anything that leads me away from a close walk with the Lord, if I'm toying with something that everybody else around us might be accepting it and say, it seems like they're doing okay. But I don't have to answer for their soul. I must answer for mine. And if the Lord has already given us some caution, listen to it. There's red flags flying and lights are going off and saying, stop! Stop! Stop long enough to say, Lord, what are you saying? He's trying to keep us from danger. From families being broken up, from souls being destroyed, your whole lot of complicating things come in when we let the devil in any way. He'll set up shop and start trying to take control. Listen to Brother Larry Abbott one time say it this way. He said, you give the devil an inch, he'll become the ruler. It'll happen. Lord, help us. So I know this is a story that we can look at distantly happen, and you heard me tonight. I think that Samson, you were really foolish. That was a very stupid thing for him to do. While we're watching that, be careful that we don't recognize perhaps some pitfalls or dangers. Let's stay away from it. Let's get up close to the Lord. Love Him with all of our heart. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.